Let's begin this morning front and center with the 401k security. We've talked a lot about how our bank accounts and email accounts and credit reports all can be hacked. Now there's some warning about the vulnerability of 401k accounts. Let's bring in Brett McKittrick this morning. Brett is the SVP and senior HR consultant at Associated Benefits and Risk Consulting, part of Associated Bank, and he's our thought leader this morning. Brett, good morning. Welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Thanks, Steve. Great to be here.
You have scared me today, and I guess we're going to scare everybody now about, not necessarily scare them, but no one thinks that their 401k plan might be hackable, and it is.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And so instead of scaring people, let's say we're trying to raise awareness.
Sure.
Right? And so, you know, we know from a legal or regulatory standpoint, our personal or protected health information is protected under HIPAA privacy and security laws. We know, say, that financial institutions that hold our bank accounts are subject to many privacy and security laws. Well, the problem here is with a 401k plan, you have so many different players. You have an employer plan sponsor. You have participants like employees and beneficiaries, former employees. Then you have a number of different service providers, the people that help that plan sponsor run that 401k plan, investment advisors, third-party administrators, et cetera. And no one single regulatory body controls what each of those sort of players in the 401k field need to do to keep personally identifiable information or plan data safe.
And I'm going to go through this sort of methodically because you've touched on a couple things there.
Sure.
We assume that from the employer standpoint, the concern is somebody in the HR department or even somebody at a computer somewhere in the building is going to open up the door for the information on the 401k to be put out. Is that a fair way to say that?
Yeah, that's one potential risk. You're exactly right. One of the problems here is, you know, think of it, let's compare it to protected health information under HIPAA. Well, here in America, we don't own our own medical records, right? They're owned by a medical provider or an insurance company or an insurance plan. Well, it's relatively easy to safeguard that when you have such big bodies controlling that information or data. In the case of a 401k plan data, so, you know, think of a person's name, address, social security number, account information, login username and passwords. Mm-hmm. All of these things might be that protected or personally identifiable data. And you're right. An HR person could have a piece of that, mixed with a service provider like a third-party administrator having a piece of that, mixed with you yourself, me, as a plan participant having a piece of that. And when all those pieces are put together, now you have something that could be exploited, stolen, and used against you.
And, you know, the question comes to mind, who's responsible for that? Mm-hmm. Is it, you know, I guess then there have to be some sort of investigation, if it's even possible, to find out where the breakdown occurred.
That's exactly right. And it could occur on a number of different fronts. And that's one of the main reasons that makes this problem so complex and multi-layered.
Is there some sort of, I guess the better question is, what's being done in HR departments now to fight this and prevent some of these things from happening?
Sure. And so I'll take this in a couple different areas.
Okay.
One, I'll maybe end with talking about from a government or regulatory perspective. But first, what plan sponsors do now is, or what we would advise a plan sponsor to do, is think of it maybe as a three-way partnership of security between the employer, the participants, and again, that service provider, those, you know, investment advisors, TPAs, helping that 401k plan sponsor. But it really begins with the plan sponsor. And so what they can do is, for instance, educate and make aware their participants of maybe some common hacking schemes, like phishing, for instance, or password attacks. And what they can do is maybe highly suggest more complex passwords or require them. Two-step authentication. So, you know, you log in, but then you get a text on your phone saying, you know, write this number into your login information. Things like that, just to help the participants become more aware of potential pitfalls out there. What they can also do on the service provider side is really hold these service providers accountable. Many third-party administrators and plan administrators offer something like a cybersecurity comfort letter, or there's something that they can do contractually to ensure that whoever that plan sponsor is working with is providing the safeguards necessary for that plan data and personal information.
And you know, the service provider here is a pretty important one, because I won't use any names of companies, but the company I'm thinking of, when I make a change, they send me an email and say a change has been made,
mm-hmm.
and I also have to speak with a human being, so they have some sort of record of me physically, or you know, one-on-one communication. Those are kind of good security tools as well, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, the more things like that are in place, and it's a tough balance, because, you know, a plan sponsor or a service provider doesn't want to make it so unbelievably challenging and go through 38 steps to mm-hmm. make any kind of change. People naturally won't even mess with their 401k as a result. But they have to find that balance to doing some of the, putting in some of the safeguards that you're suggesting, to make sure that, hey, Steve, you are the person that is directing this change, and it's not some outside party.
You know, I think the worst case scenario is somebody gets into a 401k and takes money or does something to damage your retirement account. What happens in that scenario? Let's say I'm not at fault and somebody hacks in. Is there any insurance? Is there any recoup of what has happened?
Yeah, great question. So a couple of things. First of all, on that service provider level, a plan sponsor, before they engage with a, you know, anyone helping them about their 401k, they should ask that service provider, hey, what do you have in place from a recovery standpoint or from an insurance standpoint to make this person whole should something go wrong or should there be a cyber breach? Now, in addition to that, we highly recommend that that plan sponsor employer have their own cybersecurity insurance.
Mm.
That maybe if they're acting as a fiduciary on the plan, and many plan sponsors are sort of being charged under ERISA, the body of law that governs 401k plans from a participant rights standpoint, as a fiduciary, they are required to safeguard all plan data, or excuse me, all plan assets mm-hmm. of which plan data is part of. So we recommend that maybe you look into fiduciary liability insurance. So again, if something goes wrong, that individual, that HR director, that CEO, the board of a company, whoever the fiduciaries are for that plan, are personally protected as well.
It sounds like we have some homework to do. From a consumer standpoint, an employee's standpoint, how do we check whether or not our employer has some of these things in place?
Yeah, first thing to do is just ask. You know, so a couple of ways. Some employers are more involved in their own 401k plan than others. Some farm out everything to a third party. And so in that regard, maybe the participant would have that natural relationship with that service provider. Mm-hmm. And that participant certainly would be able to ask them directly if information is not already given to them. Otherwise, just go up the chain in your own company. Ask the HR individual, ask the finance individual, someone that's probably has their hands in the 401k plan.
Luckily, we haven't heard of many, if any, of these hackings of 401k. I know, but in prepping for today's interview, you said it's not a matter of if, but when, which is sort of frightening.
It really is. Yeah. And the government's taking note of this. Again, because of the multifaceted, all the players involved in this, it's very hard to have one law that says, hey, we're covering everything. You must do it this way. But in February, a couple of Congress people wrote a letter to the Government Accountability Office, and they basically said, where are we at in this stuff? And many questions that they asked the Government Accountability Office is, what current regulations are in place to safeguard people's money in situations like this and their personal data?
And so what would be some of the solutions there? Are we talking about regulations that have been proposed yet?
This is the government, right?
Right.
So slow as molasses, but we're heading in that direction. And by the way, just because regulation might be on the horizon or the government puts out a law saying companies or plan service providers have to do it this way, that doesn't mean everything will be great and easy and clean. However, it does raise awareness, number one, and it does put some onus on very specific individuals to make them react or act in a way to help safeguard everyone's money.
Does this threat perhaps cause employers to think twice about managing any of this at all in-house?
Yeah, in a lot of ways it should. You know, here I am talking about be careful of who you work with, but doing it yourself in-house, it's just like having a health plan. If you have a self-funded health plan, there's no way on earth you should handle all the claims in-house, right? And so you have a third-party administrator, you have people helping you with that similarly here.
We've heard in cases where people have their identity stolen that sometimes it takes forever to fix this and make it right. I'm guessing that's what we want to avoid if somebody gets into our 401k. Make it as easy as possible for us to fix it if something happens.
Yeah, I think that's part of that as well. And I guess time will tell. See what happens there.
Yeah. So marching orders today as we end this interview, if from an employer standpoint and from an employee standpoint, what should be the first marching orders?
I'll say from an employee standpoint first.
Okay.
Number one, know who you're dealing with. If you have questions about security, ask, as we said, your service provider or your employer, and pay attention to notifications. You know, as you mentioned, you know, you'll receive a notification saying a change has been made. Actually go in and open that up and see what that really means.
Mm-hmm.
From an employer perspective, I just say, know who you're dealing with, who you're working with. Challenge your service providers to say, hey, where are you at in this space? And then also talk to your liability or insurance consultants or brokers that you deal with to talk about cybersecurity liability policies as well as fiduciary liability policies.
And then back to the employee part of this too, if you haven't gone in and set up those notifications,
mm-hmm.
two-factor, also the notifications that there's been a change, do that immediately.
Absolutely.
Brett, it's good chatting with you. How can people have this conversation one-on-one if they want with you?
Sure. My email address is brett.mckittrick, my full name, at associatedbrc.com.
Good information. We'll see you again next time.
Thanks, Steve.
It is Brett McKittrick, the Senior Vice President and Senior HR Consultant at Associated Benefits and Risk Consulting, which is part of Associated Bank. Our thought leader conversation, we do them every Thursday here on The Opening Bell. You can find more at WGNradio.com and also over at AssociatedBank.com/thought leadership. You can meet our thought leaders there and hear more conversations and follow Associated Bank on Twitter at Associated Biz.